Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Coastal Pines Technical College, Urgent Med 1 and Urgent Med Plus, Heron Document Systems, Barber's Body Shop, Adrian Browning, Attorney at Law, Jessup Furniture, and by Catch 228. And now, here is your host, Christian Gokul.
And welcome into the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gokul on location at Catch 228 on St. Simon's, where we'll be each and every week on Tuesday nights at 7 for the entire season. This segment of the Rocky Hidalgo Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Jessup Furniture, Barber's Body Shop, Heron Document Systems, Urgent Med 1 and Urgent Med Plus, Adrian Browning, Attorney at Law, Coastal Pines Technical College, and by Catch 228. Joining us now, the head coach of Glenn Academy Red Terriers, Coach Rocky Hidalgo. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Not as good as you, coming off a big city championship win over Brunswick on Friday night.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
And so,
it is what it is. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Kids did a great job.
And the atmosphere around that game was really awesome, just from a fan perspective. Red on the home side, blue on the away. It was kind of like a Georgia-Florida or a bowl game atmosphere, really.
It was. I think, it was really fun for me because our opponents came in thinking they were going to win the game, and we broke their hearts, which is always exciting. I love doing that, stealing their thunder like that. And so it was a lot of fun. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the press clippings coming into that one on the Brunswick side. And again, you guys are region champs for the past, 3 years in a row?
We're not region champs yet. City champs. City champs for 4 years in a row. And we have a big game Friday against Richmond Hill. If we win that, we'll be outright region champs the last 2 years. And we were co-champs 3 years ago.
Yep. And opening kickoff, you guys maybe came out a little bit amped up and picked up a personal foul. What happened on that play?
It really wasn't too much of anything other than we had a kid that getting locked up with somebody and he just got slung a kid down, and I didn't think it was that big a deal, but evidently the officials did.
Yeah, so right after that foul, big pass play on the first play, really set them up well, but your defense stands up strong three plays in a row, and then there's that name again, Hunter Hall, huge fourth down stop.
And Hunter did a great job there, but also I think if you go and look at Marlon Taylor did a nice job, David Murray, but it was a group effort on that. They set that up for Hunter to be able to do those things. And they opened up with a big long pass play. When offenses like that, offenses in general, people mistake yardage for points. And that's one of the things as a coach, as a defensive coach, I always kind of chuckle and laugh because people will go out. I can't tell you how many times guys I've coached against have talked about how, we outgained y'all, and God, we hit so many opportunities. But people mistake moving the ball for scoring touchdowns, and the two aren't the same. You know, it doesn't matter. You have to put the ball in the end zone. Some offenses will tally up a lot of yardage, and as a defense, you just kind of got to be patient. You got to understand they're going to move the football, and then you just got to stand up and get one play to get off the field, and that's really what it comes down to. That's defensive football right there, and they've got a very talented offensive team. They move the ball. They didn't score a whole bunch, and that's, at the end of the day, our kids play their tails off on defense because of it.
Right, it really seemed like early on in the game and throughout the game that they were trying to pick on Sean Bravo on that side. They did complete the first long pass, but besides that, it seemed like he did a really good job of holding that side down.
Yeah, Sean did a good job. The first pass actually came against Che Foy, and they threw over there. What we did is we manned up the backside versus 3-by-1 trips formation, so we manned up the backside and basically said, "Go, come on in." Their answer was to throw a low percentage pass.
Right.
And that's, as a defensive staff, that's what we want. If their answer is to throw the ball 40 yards down the field in a pass that you complete, one out of six times, then we're going to win the game. Right. I mean, and so at the end of the day, that's what we try to do. We wanted to force them into low percentage throws, keep a guy in front of the quarterback's face at all times so he didn't get, they scored a lot of points on scramble drill. The quarterback balls contained. And basically just got out in the open and threw the ball down the field. We wanted to keep him in the pocket. We did a great job of keeping him in the pocket with pressure in his face that didn't allow him to get comfortable and throw the ball down the field.
And this is the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Now, you did mention that yardage don't equal points, but this team came in only scoring less than 40 points once, and you guys held them to a season low of 13. That's got to bring out a ton of pride in your defense.
A lot of that stuff comes, it is what it is, man. The points and averages and all that stuff, none of that matters. I mean, you know, we lost two games to two really good football teams that we struggled against, but I think there's value in struggle. And so you can go and beat up, you know, bad teams and pad your stats, that's fine. But, you know, the question is, are you getting better as a football team? You know, I like to schedule tough opponents because it forces you to improve. It makes you look at yourself in the mirror and watch tape and see what you're doing well, and forces you to work on details. If all you do is play bad teams, you'll never know where your weaknesses are. And I think, you know, one of the things that showed Friday night was I think we had played a really tough schedule and didn't have any patsies on that schedule. And our kid, we were forced as coaches and as players to really adapt and improve every day because we were you know, pitted against really good football teams. And I think that showed Friday night. I think details, the devil's in the details. Our kids were better at the details than their kids were.
Now, moving over to the offensive side of the ball, a term that got thrown around a lot after this one was trick plays. And you did score on the one wide receiver reverse to Randon, and then the first touchdown was set up by a screen thrown back to Randon. But to you guys, those aren't really trick plays, are they?
No, they're just plays. I mean, at the end of the day, they're plays. We run those plays all the time. And if coaches think they're trick plays, that's fine. We practice them every day. We've got about 8 or 9 of them that we run. They may be unconventional plays, but nobody's out there with a magic wand. They're not trick plays. I mean, people have to do their job and have to cover all their responsibilities. And that's fundamental football. If you're not coaching your kids to do that, then you're going to be subject to go out there and somebody's going to hit the quarterback out of the backfield on you. But somebody's going to take that. And we're in the same boat. I mean, we're in the same boat. We've got to coach our kids to do those things every day. And if they don't, they'll get burned on.
And to me, it really seemed like those plays were a way to get Randon the ball in some open field.
Yeah, it was just a way to get him out there running around. You know, at the end of the day, when the quarterback hands the ball off and he takes off and nobody covers him and nobody picks him up, I mean, it's an easy way to get him the ball. I mean, it's not something necessarily designed. I guess it's specifically designed for him because he's the quarterback. But you know, it's things that we had seen on tape that guys weren't picking that guy up out of the backfield, so we knew we wanted to do it.
Well, he's definitely no slouch as an athlete either.
He's a really good player. You know, and we wanted to come out and be aggressive. I mean, I told our coaching staff, we wanted to get them on their heels, you know, immediately on the front of this thing. You know, they had come in with all the press and everybody's talking about, they had a lot of confidence when they were coming in the game. Well, I wanted to steal that confidence from them. I wanted them sitting over there with doubt in their head, worrying about what we were going to do next. And I think that's the first thing. We kicked the ball off. We went after them. And we put them in a defensive mode. We want to be aggressive. We want to be offensive. Everything we do, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. And some of it worked out, some of it didn't. But we kept them on their heels the whole night because of that.
Well, the guy who really filled up his trophy case this weekend, and deservedly so, was Kane Cruz. It seemed like from the jump he was able to get 9-10 yards a pop.
Yeah, you know, we did a good job with our front. I mean, really, really getting downhill and getting a hat on a hat. And, you know, that's a lot of that's the offensive line. I mean, and our offensive line and our offensive coaches, who did a great job game planning that. And then Kane's a really good player. I mean, and if you get a hat on a hat and hand him the ball off, he's gonna run for 10 yards. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to control the clock. We wanted to come in there and get physical with them, control the clock. And, you know, how I envision the game kind of offensively going like a boa constrictor choking out a rat. I mean, we wanted to keep them on the sidelines, frustrated on the other sideline. They can't get on the field. And we wanted to just steal the life from them with our offensive line and grinding the ball out.
Yeah, it's really got to be killer for them on both sides of the ball. One, offense can't get in a rhythm, and when they're not in a rhythm, coming back out on 3 and out, defense right back on the field.
That's what we want. We want to be physical with them and make the game. We want to be body punchers in there. I mean, when it comes down to it, we weren't trying to get a knockout, big play, you know, up the field every time. What we wanted to do is we wanted to wear them down a little bit and keep them on the field and get them tired. And you know, we did that. I mean, our kids, I mean, it was a physical football game, and our kids took it to them.
And you mentioned this a little bit, but your offensive line really put it together in this one. Is this a group that you can lean on going forward towards the playoffs?
Yeah, I hope so. I think they're getting better because with the same five guys have been playing. And when I look at our kids, I mean, they're improving. We got a lot of guys who didn't play a ton leading up to this season on the offensive line. But I think what you do is you see them getting better every week. They're improving every week.
And again, you win the city championship. You really put yourself in the driver's seat for this region. And proved a point that you've tried to make all year is that this region still runs through Glen Academy.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's my feeling on it. I mean, that's that's how it is. I mean, I know a lot of people just assume, you know, look, we're going to graduate good players. We're going to graduate some good players this year. But at the end of the day, everybody's going to graduate good players. We're going to do a great job coaching our kids 365 days a year. We've built a really good football program here. What that means is we can absorb losses, and we can train our kids to go and play a certain way. And so people who just think we're going to graduate some kids and fall off the end of the earth, they're crazy. That's not going to happen. And I think you see that from us. We've gone in and won. We keep getting better because we coach our kids every day to run our system, our program. We get better every week, you know, and we got another opportunity to prove that we can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, another opportunity. This win, definitely a win to savor, but another huge matchup coming up with Richmond Hill at 6 o'clock this coming Friday. We'll dive into that with the coach when we come back on the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
You are a proud new home for the Glenn Academy Rocky Hidalgo Coaches Show this season? Catch 228. Be sure to be there every Tuesday night at 7 as the Red Terriers head coach breaks down the week in Glenn Academy football. And of course, while you're at Catch 228, try their world-famous oysters. 228 Redfern Village at the end of Redfern Village on St. Simons. 912-634-6228, and let's go, Terriers!
Ready, and beat, aggressive, beat,
fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing, they're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
Heron Document Systems is your go-to source for all of your copier and printer needs. Let me tell you a true story. A local business called Heron Document Systems to see what they could do for them, and Heron Document Systems ended up saving that company over $6,400 over the contract term. Authorized dealer for Canon, Sharp, and Samsung. 35 years locally owned and operated. Give them a call 912-267-7802 or check them out online at herondS.com.
The stress of being in an accident doesn't need to be compounded by dealing with a body shop that doesn't have your best interest in mind. That's why Barber's Body Shop has been in business for over 20 years, because they care about you. Locally owned and operated, which means the Barber's Body Shop family are people you know, your neighbors, people you go to church with and you see on Friday nights. Highway 341, just before the overpass next to Langford Auto Parts, 912-262-6841. And remember, let's go Terriers!
Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gokel, on location from Catch 228 on St. Simons. This segment is brought to you by Catch 228, Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Heron Document Systems, and by Coastal Pines Technical College Health. Coach, you get a huge win against Brunswick, but no rest for the weary as you got an undefeated Richmond Hill team coming to town.
Yeah, you know, they're really good. You know, I know a lot of people, I don't watch like each opponent in advance. I focus on Effingham, and when the Effingham game is over, I worry about Brunswick, and so I don't really watch ahead. So I didn't watch any Richmond Hill. I knew they had been winning games. I didn't watch any Richmond Hill games until, you know, Saturday is when I first started working on Richmond Hill. I like to say focus on the team that we're playing. Richmond Hill's as talented as anybody in the region. I would say probably their skill players on offense are better than anybody's. They've got three exceptional wide receivers. Quarterback really spins it well. The running back is really good. I mean, I'm just from a standpoint of offensively, I think a lot of people came in thinking this region was Brunswick's to win, and you know, we've got to guard against that. Hey, we beaten Brunswick, you know, the region's ours. Richmond Hill is every bit as good as anybody we played offensively. And so we've got to make sure that we're mentally prepared to go play that football game 48 good minutes.
Yeah, and just from your perspective, this has to be one of the really fun parts about being a coach in big-time high school football, just week after week of awesome matchups.
You know, I'm a competitive person. I like challenges. I don't get excited about showing up to somebody I know I'm going to beat 70-0. I don't. It just, that doesn't really do anything for me. I stress about those games more, honestly, than the big games. I like to be challenged. You know, it's going to be a good challenge. They've got a good football team. You know, I'm going to ride our kids. And like this is how I challenge our kids. You want to win a state championship, you got to play well 5 weeks in a row. If you can't do it 3 weeks in a row, don't talk to me about coming back around and, hey, we're going to do it 5 weeks in a row and get in the state playoffs. It's time, you know, it's put up or shut up time. We've got to learn how to go and practice. Everybody talks about playing Friday nights. It's about practicing Monday, practice Tuesday, practice Wednesday. Let's have three great practices. Focus on those practices. When we get to Friday, we'll focus on the game. But, you know, too many times people worry about focus on Friday and they forget Monday through Thursday. I don't want my football team to do that.
And again, shut down Brunswick this past Friday, allowing only 13 points. But as you mentioned, another high-powered offense coming into town. What is it that they're able to do so well on that side of the ball?
Well, I just think they've got just a tremendous amount of skill. I mean, the running backs, or they've got, you know, they take the little slot player, put him in the back. So they've got two really good running backs who do a good job of cramming it in there on the inside zone. And they're athletic enough that even when it's not there, they'll stick their foot in the ground and bounce the play and get outside. They do that for a lot of big yardage. You see them, I mean, they turn nothing into something in a hurry. And then their skill players on the perimeter. They throw a lot of easy throws, a lot of screen game on the perimeter and get you running laterally. And those guys, I mean, they've got a couple of guys. One's committed to West Virginia, one's committed to Cincinnati. And, you know, they're really tough. They get out there, they make people miss, and they turn 2-yard, 3-yard routes into 70-yard plays. And so what they do is they get you up there, and then they throw the ball over the top. The quarterback spins it really well, puts it where it throws it on time, puts it on the money. You know, so it's going to be – they're really good. We're going to have – we've got our work cut out for it. We're going to have to play well to win the game.
And not only an offensive juggernaut, but defensively they got a couple shutouts to their name and have only allowed more than 20 points on them twice. What kind of challenges are you facing against this team?
You know, again, when I look at somebody defensively, I think about us, honestly. I think about how we're going to game plan them, and two, how we're going to execute offensively. As long as we play well up front and control the football and don't put the ball on the ground, we're going to move the ball and score points. I believe that. What we do is really, really tough to stop. It's really tough for somebody to just go out there and slam the door on us. But as long as we're not jumping off sides, we've gotten in trouble this year when we make mistakes, when we jump off sides and start first and 15, when we fumble snaps, when we put the ball on the ground. As long as we're focused in executing our offense, I don't think they're going to stop us. I'll be honest with you. I think our kids, we're going to run the ball effectively. You know, we're going to get the ball on the perimeter because what we do is really, really tough. It's tough to stop. So, you know, that's on us. We've got to show up and execute and do the things we've been coached to do.
Absolutely. And, again, a win wraps up another region championship for your team. What does that mean come playoff time when it comes to seeding and home field advantage and stuff like that?
Well, you know, we'll be a home field advantage. Outside of that, nobody cares once you get in there if you won a region championship. But, you do have a home field advantage, at least for the first two rounds. You know, look, it's good for the program. You know, when you build a top-notch program, you compete for that region championship and you get in the playoffs and you win playoff games every year. In your down years, you do that. You know, and everybody talked. I said this from the beginning. I felt like we'd have a good football team, but we've got some young players and inexperienced players. It's going to take time for us to develop. You know, a lot of people read into that we're going to have a down year. I never thought we were going to have a down year. I thought we were going to win the region championship and get in the playoffs and win some playoff games. I talk to our kids all the time about being a champion, being a region champion, and going in the playoffs and winning the state championship. And I think we can do that if we play like we're capable of. So, you know, for me, it's one of the things we set out our goals. It's our objectives at the beginning of the year. Let's get the thing done.
And, of course, the JV and the ninth grade teams wrapping up their season this coming Thursday. How do you go about pulling up players from that JV team to bring on with the varsity?
Well, our JV and varsity are kind of intermingled a little bit there. We keep our sophomores with us. I will keep some of our sophomores out for football, and I'll keep some of our freshmen out for football. So I'll keep them, some guys. So we're going to identify guys that we feel like have a chance to play for us next year. As juniors and sophomores, and we'll keep those guys up with us, keep practicing with them. We'll divide the team up into true offense and defense. All our young players practice one side of the football. From this point forward, they'll practice on both sides of the football. From this point forward, they'll practice one way, either offensively or defensively, just for the rest of the year. And we try to build some depth for next year. So what we want to look at is a guy who might be starting an offensive guard. We want to put him as the number two offensive guard and start getting ready to play. And so this is a chance for us to develop a football team. The longer we play, the more chances we have to develop.
Absolutely. And a little bit of a shout out, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe both of those teams are undefeated.
They are. Our ninth grade team is undefeated. Our JV team has lost a couple of games.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and we pulled some more kids up, and we've got so many guys playing up, so many sophomores who are playing up with us. It's, you know, I mean, it's tough. They've had a good season, and they've competed really well. I mean, I think we've taken – a lot of their skill kids away from them because they're up playing with us. When you talk about Byron Bacon and Nolan Grant, you know, we've been playing four sophomore defensive linemen who aren't playing on the JV. I mean, that takes a big chunk away from you over there. But they those kids have done a good job. I think we're getting better down there, and it's going to be a great group of kids when you put all those guys together.
Of course, another big game this coming Friday against Richmond Hill, and that game's at 6 o'clock, early game. So make sure you get out and support your Terriers. When we come back, we're going to talk a little NFL, a little college football with the coach. That's up next on the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo.
Urgent Med is more than just an urgent care clinic. Urgent Med is now accepting primary care patients and accepts most insurances. With two locations to serve all of Glenn County, Urgent Med Prime, 5248 New Jessup Highway, just off I-95 at exit 36B, and Urgent Med Plus on St. Simon's in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center at 106 Retreat Village. Walk in anytime and get in, out, and on with your life. In Brunswick, 912-264-1883, and on St. Simon's, 912-434-9316, or check out Urgent Med online at urgentmed-1.
Having trouble finding a job? Need to update your skills? Now is the right time to enroll at Coastal Pines Technical College with 7 locations to serve you in Alma, Bexley, Kingsland, Golden Isles, Hazelhurst, Jessup, and Waycross. What are you waiting for? With more locations, more programs, more opportunities, and more ways to reach your potential, Coastal Pines Technical College provides high technical adult education and training services to meet the needs of the community. Visit coastalpines.edu. Coastal Pines Technical College is an equal opportunity institution.
There are hurdles, there are handicaps, and there are hardships you will face in life, but you don't have to face them alone. Adrian Browning, attorney at law, will have your back. She has the knowledge and compassion to tackle your issue and make your journey as smooth as possible. Whether divorce, custody, personal injury, or criminal law, including DUI, she's got your back. Come see her at 9 St. Andrews Court beside Mary Ross Waterfront Park, 912-580-3507, and abrowninglaw.com. Schedule your free consultation today, and you be the judge.
Looking for top-quality furniture at prices that blow away the competition? Jessup Furniture Outlet. Ashley, Universal, Bassett, Lexington, and so many more. Jessup Furniture offers delivery and 12-month interest-free financing located at 651 Scranton Road next to Old Times, or give Jessup Furniture a call, 912-267-1897. Also, find Jessup Furniture on Facebook. Jessup Furniture, your top-quality furniture outlet that won't break your budget.
And welcome back to the Glenn Academy Red Terrier Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Christian Gokel on location at Catch 228 on St. Simon's. This segment is brought to you by Urgent Med 1, Urgent Med Plus, Barber's Body Shop, Jessup Furniture, and by Adrian Browning, attorney at law. Now, coach, fresh off a Super Bowl appearance, Falcons find themselves 3-2 early in the year, but dropping a couple games in a row, and it really seems like they just can't hold on to a second-half lead. Is that just a fatal flaw in this team?
It's because God loves me. I'm a diehard Saints fan, and the next best thing to the Saints winning, the Falcons losing. When the Saints win and the Falcons lose, I mean, that's a great Sunday right there. And having been in Atlanta for like 18 years, and all my friends are diehard Falcons fans, and for the most part, the Saints were beating them the majority of that. Those were great years. So I don't follow NFL football until our seasons are with. We work Sundays. I mean, I'm in the office at 8 o'clock and don't get home until 8 o'clock. So I don't even watch Monday night football or Thursday night football. I watch some college football on Saturdays. So, you know, good for the Falcons. I hope they keep up the good work. That's all I have to say.
Well, let's move on from the Falcons then and talk about another team that people weren't really giving a lot of credit at the start of the year, the New Orleans Saints, and they've come out and really lit it up this season.
I don't even know their record. To be honest, I'll tell you, I don't follow
52 on Detroit.
I don't follow. I literally do not check the box score. I don't follow anything. I don't watch the highlights.
Just gonna text you.
I don't do any of it until after our season. So I couldn't tell you. I'm a diehard Saints fan. Love the Saints, love them, but I just don't have time for it in my life. I have like, you know, my family, my job, and LSU football on Saturdays. I get a chance to watch that. That's pretty much it.
Well, like you said, it's tough for you to watch some football on Saturdays. But again, you're 11-7 on the year in our pick-ems, and that gives you a little 2-point clearance on that one. But
go.
I'm going to continue to make you pick first.
So that has more. That's probably things. More to say about you than it is about
a
me.
Lot to
being,
say about
being 11-7. No offense. I don't even know the records of any of the teams outside of Alabama.
I put those in.
I pick Alabama every week. Blanket statement.
I don't
Alabama.
Put Alabama in there okay. for that exact yeah. reason.
Shoot.
All right. Well, 3:30 on Saturday, a battle of teams with a 0 in the respective records, but not on the side you want as winless Georgia Southern travels up to take on UMass.
I'm gonna go Georgia Southern because eventually they've got to win a game. You know, I like Tyson Summers used to recruit us here. I like Tyson. I like the guys on his staff are good guys. As a coach, professionally, you never want to see guys get fired, to be honest with you. And probably things have gone probably too far, progressed too far, that those guys are going to save their job, which is disappointing. But so I root for those guys. Maybe they'll turn around, win some games, and save their job. So I'll go Georgia Southern.
I'll take UMass on that one. Just to disagree with you.
Is UMass undefeated?
No, neither one of them have a win.
Okay, good. Yeah,
neither one.
I'm about to say. I felt like I got
sucked. It's the toilet bowl.
So somebody's gonna get a win.
I'm going to Georgia. So they'll probably tie.
Yeah. Well, 7:30 on NBC. One of the cooler rivalries in college football as 5-1 USC travels to take on 6-1 Notre Dame. Both teams sitting just outside the top 10.
Yep.
Yeah,
you got to
pick one.
I mean, they both play. What are their records again?
USC is 5-1. I believe Notre Dame is 5-1 as well.
Are they? They playing at Notre Dame?
Yes, sir.
The Catholics will cheat and win. I'll go Notre Dame, even though. Yeah, I'll go Notre Dame on that one.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Sam Darnold hype in this one. He's kind of shaky. A lot of that same thing I say about Jacob Eason. He's got the arm talent, but. Too many turnovers. Offense doesn't seem like I'm getting gear.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he spins a good ball. I would not compare him to Jacob Eason. I would not do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go that far. I think he spins a good ball. He's got some stuff, but I'm not sure that the dudes around him are quite as good as what everybody says they are. But that's my two cents.
Well, I'll go ahead and agree with you and take Notre Dame in this one. And then the big game on Saturday, Jim Harbaugh and that nasty Michigan defense take their 5-1 record to Happy Valley to face off with the undefeated Nittany Lions of Penn State.
I watched Michigan this weekend, and I love Harbaugh because he and I are kind of a little bit kindred spirits in the fact I think he loves to irritate, like, opposing fan bases. And other the people that he coaches against, I don't think he really cares about what other coaches think about him, which I love him for that. And so Steve Spurrier was one of my favorite coaches, and I love Harbaugh. But I watched them this weekend; they suck on offense. They're terrible. But I'm gonna go Penn State. I'm gonna go Penn State in that one, just because Michigan's not real good on offense. They're not real good.
Well, again, probably just a dumb move on my part, but I'm going to take Michigan in the upset. I feel like that defense is good enough to shut down Saquon Barkley. That's really Penn State's only offensive threat. They have their backup quarterback as their slot receiver.
Michigan doesn't have any offensive threats.
None.
Okay, just checking.
Maybe the defense scores more points than the offense gets it done. Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming out. Go ahead and lock up that region for us on Friday.
We'll do.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate everybody coming out to the Gold Academy Red Terriers Coaches Show. Make sure you join us next week.